Minnesota's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. You can hear us on the 760 KFMB app or 760KFMB.com. And now it's time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a best-selling author. He is a marathon runner. He is a family office advisor to several high-net-worth families. He's a philanthropist. He's an all-around good guy and family man. And his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, how are you tonight?
I'm marvelous, Joe. I'm all tennised out.
You've been lounging around, and I've been doing all the research. So.
Exactly. I was down in Indian Wells. I want to thank our sponsor, UBS, because they let us use the UBS suite down at Indian Wells yesterday.
Yeah, you've been slumming it, huh?
Got some amazing matches in. And then, of course, you know, it was a different dinner menu than it was lunch menu even. So you talk about being spoiled. So thanks to Ty Lim, Patrick Schertenberger, Mike Kaniger, who, of course, works with Mike Karanta and Drew Friedeth. Also wanted to give a big shout-out and congratulations to Mike Kaniger, partner of Drew Friedeth and Mike Karanta, because he ran his first ever marathon last Sunday. He ran the L.A. Marathon and finished in just over 5 hours. In that brutal heat. So congratulations, Mike.
Wow.
Kudos to you. That's quite an accomplishment, because it was about 15 degrees hotter than anybody in their right mind would have wanted it to be to run a marathon last Sunday.
Well, I haven't been getting into running yet, Rich. I promised to do that, but I did go gluten-free and sugar-free, and I noticed a big difference in just like 7-10 days.
That's good, Joe. I'm actually gluten-free intolerant.
Yeah, really?
That's a joke.
A gluten-free intolerant. Well, you've never touched a cigarette
I've never even tasted coffee in my lifetime. So I'm not too bad.
But anyway, do you eat bread and pasta and all that though?
I'm Italian.
Yeah, I know.
That's a rhetorical question.
I am too, but I tell you, I feel so much better that
Joe. I can't speak unless I have a piece of bread in my left hand.
And of course, if they tie our hands together, we can't talk either.
Exactly. So.
But anyway, we've got to, well, let
we,
me.
We got to get going, Joe, because it's we got a lot of people in studio.
We do. But I just want to plug the USO is going to have their 73rd anniversary Stars and Stripes Ball. I promise Marina Horwitz I do this. It's May 3rd. If you want to support the military heroes, look them up online there. But the Stars and Stripes Ball for the USO. But anyway, tonight in studio.
But Joe, we got more guests.
We certainly do. Now we've got a wonderful husband-wife team.
Who've been married 19 years.
Who've been married 19 years. We have an environmental engineer, David Dickens, and his wife, architect Heather Johnston. So welcome to the show, Heather.
Hi, Joe.
And yeah, it's great to be here.
Wonderful. And Heather has a distinction. What triggered booking these guests, if you got the San Diego Home Garden magazine, Lifestyles magazine, in January, right on the cover.
I saw it.
They've had the Home of the Year 3 times, but this is the 35th annual edition, and this time they made the cover. And so congratulations, Heather.
Thanks so much.
Were you surprised to get this award?
Well, I was kind of hoping.
How many homes were entered in something like this?
I think they got something like 60.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Wow.
All in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, for folks, if you don't know, this home was built in La Jolla. And from my understanding, it's a prefab home. It's a modular home. It was built in 2 days, right?
But Heather, can you explain what modular means? Because not all of our listeners know about real estate.
Modular. There's a number of definitions of modular homes, but the one that counts for us is it comes in a box, a whole bunch of different boxes. In this case, 11 boxes.
With instructions? I'm just kidding.
Well, in this case, 11 boxes on 9 big rigs pulled up to the lot, and over the course of 2 days, these boxes were craned into place, and boom, me and David were looking at our view from the second floor. It was amazing.
Wow!
And you've got the photography on your website. You can actually see the whole home constructed.
It's so fun.
In a couple of minutes, right?
Yeah.
What do you call it? Time delayed photography, Richard.
Time lapse.
That's it.
Yeah, time lapse.
Duh. Couldn't think of the word. Thank
so,
you.
are there a lot of sustainability features in your home?
Absolutely. Well, that's the only way to build now.
Such as?
Well, we've got dual pane glass. We've got a very super cool roof, and not just because it's hip, but because it's very reflective, and it doesn't retain much heat. It reflects most of the heat back. And we don't have any AC in the house at all. All the windows provide complete ventilation, even during the hardest part of the summer. It's a simple trick. You put a small opening down low on the windward side and then a bigger opening up high on across from it. You have amazing cross ventilation. It's very simple.
Wow.
Another thing we have in the second floor, a stairway has a light well over it, and that light well opens up and it's like a chimney effect. So the ventilation is amazing. It's always cool. It's great. And we don't have to run and spend a lot of money on cooling bills.
And it's up above La Jolla Shore, so you're always getting that onshore drift,
that's
right?
That's really useful, too.
Yeah. Now, the materials it's made out of, is that a lot of that reused, or what's it made out of, the wood there and everything?
Oh, we didn't reuse any materials, but what we did reuse was when we took the houses down that were on the site already, a couple cottages, we recycled every piece of those existing cottages. They went to places like Mexico, Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, great.
The thing about buildings, when they're made in the 20s, they're made out of old growth wood that you just can't get now. So this kind of old wood is extremely valuable. It's really strong, takes nails really well. So people want that stuff. So what we did reuse were the houses that were there before.
And what kind of wood is in this house?
What you're looking at is Western Red Cedar, that really beautiful gold.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is really neat looking. It's on your website, right? HJArchitect.com.
Heather Johnston Architect.
There you go. Yeah, it's really cool. Do you give tours or anything?
We're kind of tired of doing that.
Is that like having relatives who stay too long?
Well, it's on the and it's on the market for anyone interested, right? I mean,
That's right. It's time for a new project.
Okay.
Is that what you do? You typically will build one and move in and then sell and move on?
Well, that's right. And now I want to take this concept and build apartments. I think that's where we can really see some cost savings and most of all time savings, because people say, well, was it cheaper? The answer is it wasn't necessarily cheaper, but it was twice as fast. So
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, to build a standard home in the same size home on that lot, doing it the old way, how long would it take?
About 18 months.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, think about it.
Almost as long as a divorce.
We're not going there.
Okay, sorry.
Richard, that last segment. That's the shortest length. But anyway.
So think about it. What happens is we started demolition on April 1st on the job site. And at that exact moment, on that exact same day in Utah, they started building in the factory. Mm-hmm. So think of those savings in terms of efficiencies. Mm-hmm. And also what we wanted to do with this house is build in a way that brought systems to the most important decision that any of us will ever make in a lifetime, our own house. Mm-hmm. If you think of how you build a car today, that's all systems built. It's very efficient. I mean, if we built cars the way we built houses today, it'd be like, well, 1 week the tires show up, and then the next week the chassis shows up, and it's started to rust because the guys went surfing.
And then you get a change order on the glass.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
are you seeing more and more of these though in the county? Are there more people trying to do this now? Or
well, they are, but there's what we wanted to do, and I wanted to do for ourselves is check it out on poor David here. So I didn't have a client who was very nervous, and we could basically experiment on our own dime. And we learned so much in this process that I can understand why it's not quite mainstream yet.
Does the fact that you live in a very nice weather area make a difference? I mean, can you apply this to other geographic regions where maybe the winters are harsher or the summers are hotter?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with the time factor, because then you can build during the summer and you can be moved in before the winter comes.
Let's see, what is I going to say here? Well, you want to do multi-unit dwellings. Is that your next idea for this? And then how many units are you thinking?
Well, I'd like to start with 5 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it's a learning process, so I want to make small mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
Are you seeing much of this sustainability being applied to the commercial or the office market?
Well, actually more so, because they can get the cost savings. Mm-hmm. You've probably all heard about LEED.
Yeah, sure.
And,
I was going to ask you about that.
Personally, it's a tough one for residences because it's very expensive. Talk about consultants. They all charge a lot to get your points, and it's hard to justify those kinds of consultancy costs for a residence. Now, when you move into a commercial product like an office building, then you can lease advertising that your building is green and your tenants are going to be happier, and you can document how certain lighting increases productivity. So I'd say there's more of a payback for things like LEED in the commercial environment, whereas in the residential, it just doesn't make sense for the average homeowner. Mm-hmm. I mean, it needs to be done because it's the right thing to do, but not necessarily because you want to get LEED certification. Now, I'm going against a lot of people saying that it's a very valuable process and the fundamentals are good. Mm-hmm. But financially, it hasn't made sense to me yet.
All right. Well, we're going to take our break right now. Heather, we'll come right back with Heather Johnston and David Dickens right after this. Hang on.
AM 760. Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back in the home stretcher. It's your money and your life. We also have in studio the husband of Heather, David Dickens. He's an environmental engineer. Both fascinating folks. You're both from Canada. I saw that, and very highly credentialed. David, what does an environmental engineer do? And maybe you could tell us about some of your more recent projects or future current projects.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. My background is focused on the Arctic. It's actually a lot of people joke about the fact that I live in San Diego and sit in front of the computer and study, look at ice in the Arctic Ocean. But a good part of my early career for the first 20 or 30 years, in fact, I lived all through the Arctic in native villages and drifting around on ice floes and living in tents for months at a time. So I've seen enough winter in my life to last, a few hundred years, I think. But now I work a lot for major oil companies in the world, and I help them plan offshore exploration and development programs. Mm-hmm. I get involved with, for instance, the big question, what would happen if you had something like the Deepwater Horizon, the mm-hmm. Gulf of Mexico oil spill? What would happen if you had to face that in the Arctic, mm-hmm. and how would you deal with it? And so I help companies try to plan what the strategy would be and how we could prevent such a thing and what we would do to try to reduce the damage if it,
You still traveling a lot, too? You still travel a lot?
I do. I go to, Europe and Norway. I've been lucky enough to have projects in different parts of the world and had a recent project in Kazakhstan, of all places. And so I get to see some fascinating areas.
So is the ice cap really melting?
It is. In the summer, the amount of ice is dramatically less than it ever was, not just in the area, but also in its thickness. Altogether, there's maybe 40% less ice in the summer than there was 30 years ago.
Wow.
That's huge.
That is huge.
And it has a massive impact on the world's climate, as we've seen with the polar vortex here this winter in the U.S.
Chicago. Yeah. Hey, I asked Boone Pickens in public once, how much oil do you think is left in the ground at current rates of consumption? When do you think it'll be gone? He said by 2040 or 2050. He said, y'all be on something else, I think. But do you tend to agree?
I think we're going to be on oil for a good length of time yet.
Okay.
They think 20% or 20-25% of the world's oil left to be discovered is in the Arctic. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take longer for us to wean ourselves from oil, although I think we should make every effort to do that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get something clean and renewable that would make sense. I'm not looking to put the oil companies out of business. I just hope they would transfer the technology and use their skills and talents to do something smarter, because obviously it is going to run out at someday. Right?
Oh, it absolutely is, and we need to make every effort to try to move into alternate sources.
Yeah,
and the more pressure we can put on the politicians to get them in that direction, the better.
Now, Heather's an architect, you're an engineer. Do you ever collaborate on projects using your skills, or do your careers are totally separate?
Pretty much totally separate. We've shared an office together ever since we've been married.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend all day together, and I think that gives us a good chance to do another 20 years together. Our 19th anniversary is coming up.
That might be a good idea. If you're both
days.
Doing the same thing, you might tend to get, you should do something, you should do it this way. No, I'm going to do it that way. So it better do your two separate. Maybe that's
well, we share a lot. Obviously when we build a house, as Heather mentioned, Heather bounces a lot of ideas off me, and I become the client.
Mm-hmm.
And so we swap ideas all the time, and the house really is a team effort in terms of coming up with it. Of course, Heather does all the design work and the blueprints.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's a collaborative effort.
Yeah. It's great. So how many square feet is the home, Heather?
It's 3,100 square feet, and then an extra 1,000 for a 3-car garage.
Wow. And then how many bedrooms and baths?
There's 4 bedrooms and 3.5 baths.
Wow. That's
so you mentioned you used a company in Utah. Is that because there's not a lot of competition yet, or not a lot of companies who are able to produce this kind of product?
Well, at the time, that was right. And that was about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And Utah is just, in many ways, a more business-friendly climate for this kind of product.
Are they doing a lot more prefab in Utah? Is that why they're based? Or do they sell their modular homes all over?
Everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there's a lot of companies in Utah. I'd say there's a good 25 or 40 even. Really? Whereas in California, I could probably name them all in maybe one hand.
Huh. That's amazing. So is there solar panels in solar power or thermal?
It's got pegs in the roof to take solar panels, but mm-hmm. it was a budgetary decision to not put them in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you get enough sun over there anyway, right. Probably so. And the gardens look great. Are you growing any food there, or is it just mostly ornamentals?
Oh, tomatoes and all our lettuce. And, that's great. How I relax.
That is great. That is great. I mentioned earlier, I just went gluten-free and sugar-free myself, and folks, give it a try.
How many days, Joe?
Well, it's only been 10 days.
Good for you.
I feel, I tell you, you feel
You'll
so...
start dropping some weight. Yeah. Not that you really need to.
I do need to.
You do?
Okay. But anyway, I should mention David's website, too, and it's D.F. Dickens, right?
D.F. Dickens.com.
Yeah, it's got a lot of cool stuff.
There's a lot
there.
Of pictures of all my projects.
Yeah. There's a lot of oil rigs in the Gulf. A lot of people don't realize. How many, don't say it, David. Richard, how many rigs do you think are in the Gulf?
I have no idea, Joe.
Do you have any
I don't actually know the number.
It's 48.
Probably many hundreds.
It's about. I think it's like 4,800.
4,800, okay. Yeah. Well, I said 4,800. I'm just kidding.
It's in the thousands, but it would blow your mind. I could look that up for sure, but I know it's a number that will just boggle your mind. So, but Heather, any new projects coming up that you'd like to talk about?
Well, sure. An interesting one that we're actually just purchased and we're going to be renovating for ourselves was one of the first modular houses ever thought of in San Diego, and that's a 1957 Russell Forester. Now, this is in the Ellentown Road part of La Jolla, where it's up by UCSD Scripps Estates. And originally, they had 8 properties. They were going to do them all modularly in 1957 on 4-foot bays. And the builder talked them out of it as just being too newfangled. So it's kind of interesting to go full cycle now and renovate one of the original modular intended houses.
And what did modular look like 57 years ago? I mean, were the materials drastically different than what you see now?
They're all the same. The thing is, none of the materials are different. It's just that they put them together in a factory first before they, put them onto the property.
And, of course, they didn't look as cool as this home, right?
they looked pretty cool for then.
Did they?
Yeah, they were still the mid-century modern with the big beam running down and the glazing in the eaves.
But what was the roof like? Was this was it more boxy looking?
Well, very low slope, and it was basically no insulation everywhere, just gravel on top of 2x6 TNG soffits inside.
Yeah, I grew up in a town called Sunnyvale back in the 60s, and we used to have these things called Eichler homes.
Exactly.
And
like
it was
that.
Really interesting because I lived in a standard home, but a lot of the kids I went to school with, when I'd go play with them, they lived in Eichler homes, and they were a lot more open, for example, than what we were used to.
Exactly. Like
they didn't
that.
Run the air conditioning the same way we would, or because there was more ventilation and so on. But
yeah,
it was
those
a very popular style up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, and it's a very sustained idea, and it's when people talk about the California style, that's exactly what they mean.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw on your web, there's that Asian lady, Sue Mayu.
Yeah.
You did
Saffron
her home?
Saffron Restaurant.
Yes.
We purchased her home that Public Architects had did some work on, mm-hmm. and then I added onto it, and it was quite an honor.
Oh, you purchased her home, and then you moved in?
And we moved in, and then we completely renovated it, because she had big old barbecues that she would use out back, so we had to, do a little rearranging.
Well, kudos to her. I mean, her show is running on another TV station, but I'm going to play Save Her San Diego. It's a wonderful show. I don't know if you've seen it. But,
oh, yeah. She's really great.
It's great. I love the sustainability with homes, with food, with everything. So, but anyway, Richard, any closing questions or thoughts?
David, how was the process for you while the home was being built, since you collaborated somewhat?
Honestly.
Well, honestly. Yeah. There's a lot of stress involved. there's a lot of decisions to make. You also have to look at the cash flow. There's money flying in, money flying out, mm-hmm. and I tend to handle a lot of that. And there's a lot of decisions about finishes and colors and so on that that Heather, we like to try to share opinions on it, and we actually agree in almost, I'd say, 99% of the cases in terms of our taste in things, a style or a color. Or a look, that Heather will suggest.
David, thanks for bringing your better half in.
Did you come in on budget, by the way, David, on the homework?
We came in within, I'd say, 4 or 5%.
Wonderful. Yeah. Folks, get over to Heather's website, hjarchitect.com, and check it out. The home is on the market. I'm sure you can take a look. And thank you to Joe Sorsch for being our guest in the first half. Richard, thank you.
And I want to say, Joe brought in his dad, Joe Sorsch, Sr., who's been one of my clients for almost 25 years.
Right, so shout out to him. David Dickens, thank you for being with us. Justin Hart, our sound engineer, thanks for making us sound great. And thanks to Craig Blanke, our con executive, and also to Dave Sniff, our program genius here at KFMB. And don't forget the Stars and Stripe Ball for USO on May 4th. Check that out. You have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week on It's Your Money and Your Life. Good night.